Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that was in error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for what we've enjoyed so far. And I pray now you'd be with this part of the service as we open up the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and you would work in our hearts. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. Just bless the remainder of the service. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. A Scottish boy was courting his Scottish girlfriend. They were sitting on a sofa in the parlor, one sitting at each end. They'd sat there for an hour, and the young lady says to the young man, she says, John, ain't you going to say nothing? And John says, Mary, will you marry me? And Mary replies, yes. They sat there for another hour and don't say anything. And Mary says, John, ain't you going to say nothing else? And John says, Mary, I done said too much already. A young lady was studying to be a nun. And so she went to the monastery, and Mother Superior said, now, here's what we do here. We're going to put you in a room, and you're going to stay there for 10 years. And then when you come out after meditating for 10 years, we'll expect you to make a statement. So they put this young lady in a room. She stayed there for 10 years. After 10 years, she came out, and they asked her, well, what would you like to say? And she says, it's cold in that room. The Mother Superior said, well, you didn't quite get it. We're going to put you back in the room for 10 years, and we'll give you another chance. So she went back in the room, and she stayed for 10 years. She came out after 10 years and said, would you like to make another statement? And she said, yes, I would. The food here stinks. And Mother Superior said, you still haven't got it. We're going to put you back in the room for another 10 years. We're going to let you meditate, and we're going to give you another chance. So they put the young lady back in the room for another 10 years, and she came out after those 10 years, and they said, would you like to make another statement? She said, yes, I would. I quit. And Mother Superior said, well, you might as well. You haven't done nothing but complain since you've been here. Let thy words be few. Let thy words be few. Solomon is talking about in this verse, what the Holy Spirit is talking about in this verse, is praying, is talking to God. And you say, preacher, how can that be true? How can you say that verse is about prayer and it says, let thy words be few? How do you reconcile that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, pray without ceasing? How can you say, let thy words be few, and say, pray without ceasing? How can you reconcile it with Luke 18, verse 7, where the Bible says about prayer that we need to cry day and night? How can you cry day and night and your words be few? How do you reconcile it with Luke chapter 11, where the Bible says that we ought to pray with importunity? And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But how can you reconcile, let thy words be few, when it says we ought to pray with importunity? How can you reconcile it with Luke chapter 18, verse 1, where the Bible says men ought always to pray and faint not? How can we always pray and faint not when this verse says, let thy words be few? How can you reconcile it with Luke chapter 18, verse 5, where prayer is talked about as a continued coming to God? And the way you reconcile, let thy words be few, with all these verses and others in the Bible. And by the way, God's not saying when he says, let thy words be few, that he doesn't want us to come and talk to him for a long time. God does. He wants us to spend time in prayer. You know, we sing that song, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And I dare say that the average Christian doesn't spend an hour a day, maybe an hour a week, maybe an hour a month in prayer. We are fast food kind of Christians when it comes to prayer. We want to pray and get done and get on to something else. And God says, that's not how I want you to pray. I want you to pray without ceasing. I want you to pray with importunity. But when you put it together with this verse, what he's saying is, I want you to pray. And I want you to pray for an hour. And I want you to pray more than an hour. I want you to pray without ceasing. But let thy words be few. The best praying is not saying a lot of words. The best praying is saying a few words over and over and over and over again. But preacher, doesn't the Bible warn against vain repetition? Yes, it does. Vain repetition, not repetition. Doesn't the Bible say that, you know, we shouldn't chant? Yes, it does. But it doesn't say that we shouldn't repeat ourselves. And when it says pray without ceasing, that's exactly what it means. But we can pray without ceasing and let our words be few. We can come to God for a long time and plead with God over and over and over again in a few words. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn a couple places in my Bible, and I'm going to read you a couple stories that Jesus told about prayer. The first one comes from Luke chapter 18, and I'm just going to read the first six or seven verses. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Five words, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Familiar story. Jesus told it about prayer. This widow kept coming back to this unjust judge that regarded not God, regarded not man, and she kept praying the same prayer, avenge me of mine enemy. Avenge me of my adversary. I'm sorry. Avenge me of my adversary. I mean, I can just see the scene. I can just see the story as Jesus tells it. The judge is sitting in her courtroom. The lady is in the audience. She stands up, even though her case is not being heard, and says out loud to the judge, avenge me of my adversary. He pounds his gavel and says, sit down. You're out of order. We're not hearing your case. They dismiss the court for a little while. He goes out in the hall to get a drink. The lady standing by the drinking fountain, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Just five words. He says, lady, I'm sorry. I'm not going to help you. He goes back into the courtroom. She has made a little placard that says, avenge me of my adversary. And that she holds up. And he says, lady, if you don't put your card down, I'm going to find you in contempt. I'm not listening to your case. I don't care about you. I don't fear God. You may have a right and you may have a just case, but I am not going to hear your case. Just sit down and be quiet. He goes to leave at the end of the day to get on his donkey or whatever he rides home. And there she is in the parking lot of the courthouse where all the donkeys are parked. And she meets him and says, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. He says, no, forget it. I'm not going to do it. He goes home. Somehow she beats him home. She's standing there in front of his house. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Not going to do it. Lady, how many times do I got to tell you? Get off of my case. I'm not going to hear your case. Just be quiet. Leave me alone. He goes in. The phone rings. They didn't have phones back there. All right, this is my story. Just stay with it, man. The phone rings. He hears on the other line. On the line, on the other end of the line. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Finally, he says, even though I don't fear God, nor do I regard any man, unless this lady wears me out, I am going to decide in her favor. I mean, I don't know what kind of case she has. She may have a good case, she may have a bad case. But she keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And she's going to wear me out. To get her off of my back, I am going to decide in her favor. And God says, hey, if that unjust judge will do that for that lady, because she keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, what will God do in response to the answer, in response to the prayers of his people that keep coming back with a few words over and over and over and over again? And Jesus told them what God would do. He will speedily avenge them of their adversaries. Let thy words be few. I'm going to turn again to another chapter in Luke. Luke chapter 11, and read a few verses. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now again, get the picture. It was midnight. I mean, midnight, it's midnight. I was going to say midnight came earlier back in Jesus' day, but it didn't. It came at midnight, same time, midnight. Here's the picture. A neighbor has a friend drop in. Now, back in that time, regardless of what time of day it was the custom and the common courtesy that when somebody came into your house, regardless of what time it was, you gave them something to eat. And so here was this man that had this friend drop in at midnight. He had nothing to set before him. He says to his friend that came in, well, just sit down, and I'll go into the kitchen, and I'll rustle up a snack. Well, there was no bread in the kitchen. He says, I bet my neighbor John has some bread that he would loan me. And I know it's late, but, you know, we're neighbors, and I'm sure he'll help me. So he sneaks out the back door over to his friend's house and knocks on the door. John, as most decent people are at midnight, is already in bed. And you might, we read that story and say, what does that mean? He's got all his kids in bed with him. Well, back in those days, they just made the room the bed. I mean, just the family all slept in the same room. They, you know, put mats down on the floor, and they all slept together. So here's a picture. And I won't do it because I won't be able to get up. I didn't bowl yesterday, but I'm sore. But so they're all laying on the floor. And there's a knock on the door. And we'll say John is sleeping over here. All the kids are between him and the door. And he hears this knock on the door. And it's his neighbor. John, I had a friend come. I don't have anything to set before him. Could you lend me 3 loaves of bread? And John, from his perch or his bedside there in the room, says, Harry, see, I'm using a couple of words. Well, never mind. Harry, go home. I'm in bed. All my kids are in bed. In order to get you bread, I've got to get up. I've got to step. I mean, I'll wake the whole house up. Just go away. Go someplace else and get your bread. And John says, nobody else has got any but you. Here's the old John. He says, nah,
by now. We're all asleep. Well, the kids aren't asleep anymore. We're all asleep. Go away. Get your bread from someplace else. And John says, no, Harry says. Harry says, John, I'm not going away until you get up and give me some bread. And what happens? He gets some bread, that's right. He gets up, climbs over all the kids, and gives them 3 loaves of bread so that he could set before his friend. Now, if you go back and you read verses 5 and 6, where this man is going to his friend and asking for bread, it's 25 words. Just 25 words. You know, so many times we think we have to pray long, extended prayers with a lot of words in them. I read about a group of guys, they were praying for one of their friends. He was in the hospital sick, and they called upon one man to pray, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, oh, please help our buddy get well, and just went on and on and on for about 20 minutes. And the doctor came in and says, well, you guys can quit praying. He died 15 minutes ago. Let thy words be few. Let thy words be few. You see, it doesn't take a lot of words. You know, I've heard people pray, and they quote Scripture in their prayer. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you ought to remind God of the promises that he puts in the book. But this guy was quoting chapter and verse, so maybe God could go back and look it up in the Bible and make sure he got it right. You don't need to do that. God knows where those verses are in the Bible. And he says, I want to see how bad you want what you want. I want to see how much you need what you need. I don't want you to pray a fancy prayer. I don't want you to pray an eloquent prayer. There's occasions for that, and I'm not saying that it's always wrong. But most of the time, when you go to God and you need something, you just need to tell him what you need. And you need to tell him over and over. You say, preacher, doesn't he already know what I need? Yes, he does. He probably knows what you need more than you know what you need. But he wants you to keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. Because you see, he's measuring your faith. Are you going to believe God that he does answer prayer? Are you going to believe him that in answer to our asking, in answer to our seeking, in answer to our knocking, he's going to answer our prayer? And he will. He will. I always like to, when I think about this subject, I always think about Helen. And I think about her praying for Harold and Betty. Over and over, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I remember the day those two got saved. And I remember the day we got those two in the baptistry. And I just saw Helen sitting back there with the biggest smile on her face that there was. She knows, and we learn from that experience, that God answers prayer. And you know what? I don't think she used a lot of fancy words. I know, I think Helen, you know, she writes a lot of poetry, so she knows a lot of fancy words. But you know what I think she prayed? Dear Lord, I want you to save Harold and Betty. Please save Harold and Betty. Lord, please save them. Save them. They need to be saved. They need to know you. They need a home in heaven. Lord, please save them. And she kept going back and back and back and back. And you know what I think God said one day? I think he said, you know what? I think she really means this. I don't think she's going to quit until I answer her prayer. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of Harold and Betty. Harold beat them both to heaven, and he's there rejoicing already. And the rest of us will join him. I don't think it'll be too long. But in answer to a lady's prayer that kept going back and back and back with just a few words, letting God know what she wanted. Now, same thing will work for each one of us. I know some of you have been praying for people for a long, long time. I just encourage you tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. Vicki mentioned to me when we were still singing, she got a call from a friend that has a situation going on in a family where one of the children is just thinking some bad thoughts and thinking about doing something that would be very wrong. And we don't know the family's name, don't care to share it, but just ask you to pray for that family that God would work. Say, preacher, you think God can work in every situation? Yeah, I do. I don't think there's anything too hard for him. I think he can do the impossible, and he'll do that in answer to prayer. And again, it doesn't have to be a long, fancy prayer with a lot of eloquent words. It can be some simple, short words that we say over and over and over and over again. You think that's vain repetition? Nope. Nope. I think that's getting a hold of God in the way that God wants us to get a hold of him and praying. You remember when the disciples were in the ship in the middle of the storm and Jesus came walking on the water to them? And Peter saw him afar off, and after he identified himself, and Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, let me get out of the boat and walk to you. Walk to you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. So Peter gets off that boat in the middle of that storm. He puts his eyes on Jesus, and he starts walking toward Jesus. But then he begins to look around. He sees the wind and the waves and just everything, the storm on the sea. And when he takes his eyes off Jesus, the Bible says he begins to sink. And Peter cries out to Jesus as he begins to sink, Lord, save me. Save me. Two or three words. Save me. I mean, if you're sinking and you're about to go under, you don't have time to pray a 25-minute prayer. You don't have time to go back in your memory block and figure out all the eloquent words that you need to say to God. You just need to say, save me. Save me. You know, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the prayer you need to pray. Save me. Save me. You're a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says that God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die in our place on Calvary's cross. And if we'll call, if we'll ask, he'll save us. And again, you don't have to pray a 114-word prayer. You can pray a 2-word prayer. Save me. Save me. And God will hear that prayer, and he'll save you. If you're here tonight, you need to pray that prayer. I encourage you to do it. It's not a better thing to know than to know you belong to God and you're one of his children because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come to you in a simple way with a few words and express the desires of our heart. And you'll hear an answer. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that tonight would be the night that they decide to ask him. I pray, Father, if there's just one person here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight they'll make sure. And they do that by coming to Christ. So I pray you'll help them to come. We'll take the Bible and we'll show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's Christians here that you've spoken to about something that's in their life or something that should be there that's not, I pray, Father, that we'd be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Again, help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.